so much for calling in, Dulce, to talk about, you know, okay, we're in COVID-19 and we're in a challenging time for everyone, super stressed out because we're in a pandemic. And in the New York area where it hit very, very hard. And most of the time people are just thinking about, oh, I just need to make it to the next day. But you work for Transportation Alternatives and you decided to start a union. So
yes,
why would you start a union now?
Well, as you said, COVID-19, we're in a major pandemic. And, you know, I'm a black woman. I'm watching the numbers, and it's disproportionately affecting communities of color, black people, Latinx. Our hospitalization rates are super duper high, and I think mortality rates also. And, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, you know, I'm thankful to have a job, you know, but it's another thing to think, well, okay, we're in a pandemic, you know, why am I so stressed? You know, it seemed like the ideal time. It wasn't easy, to say the least.
Yeah, it wasn't easy to start a union now. I mean, right. and the thing is this, is that, I mean, what were your kind of like your goals? Like, was it because of the working conditions, the pay? I mean, what specifically was the goal, or just to have rights? What was necessarily the goal for this?
It was to have rights, better pay, better benefits. I've been working with this organization for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I live, eat, sleep, bikes, you know. And in the 5 years of working there, you know, one of the things I noticed, you know, the organization has a great mission to reclaim the streets. But I've worked with many great people throughout the years, but those people would stay. There was a very high turnover rate, you know,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't like. I'm a child. My dad was in the union for many years. He's retired. He's at home now at 80. He doesn't have to go out because he was a union man. You know, he has benefits. He doesn't have to put his life at risk. So I was thinking, you know, he was blue collar, but this is white collar work, nonprofit. We need a union as well. You know?
Exactly. I mean, I think that's something that people don't really realize, that in all of kind of the professional world, unions have the highest disparity in pay. People of color and women, like women, people of color, the
yeah.
intersection, black women in nonprofits probably make, you know, a lot less money. I know specifically than white women and white men, but all people of color, Latinx, Puerto Rican, Chicano, we make a lot less money in the nonprofit world. And we're all kind of, I feel like in a way we're kind of manipulated, because we're like, we've been kind of told this thing like, oh, money's not everything, but
definitely.
You know, the people
but
the
then
foundations
when you,
him.
But then when you sit around and see what you're doing day to day for work, and you start asking people salaries, and you're like, why am I getting paid so low? You know, I mean, there was one point where I was part-time Upper Manhattan organizer, 25 hours a week. You know, organizing work is it's not 9 to 5.
No.
You know, you're sometimes working weekends. And I didn't have enough money to make my bills, so I became a overnight dispatch at City Bike, you know, two nights a week, Saturday, Sunday, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. I had no life. And then I'm sitting here and I'm watching people come in brand new. They get full time, they get benefits, they get all that, you know. And what am I still doing here doing? What is this?
Yeah, and I guess the thing is that's just kind of like, and I'm not saying, oh, if you've gone to school that you should people who don't go to school don't deserve to have food and eat, but you went to the new school.
I went to school. I have a degree.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of a Tony school, the new school. So it's not like, okay. And like I said, again, we don't want to have a situation where, well, if you don't have a college degree, you deserve to have no money. But I just want to give people the feeling, this is a black woman, a middle-aged black woman, great, a middle-aged black woman with a, you know, degree from an upscale school, and, you know, she's having to do dispatch work in order to feed herself. In the biggest, richest city in America, one of the biggest, richest cities in the world. So it is ridiculous.
But many people don't know New York State was one of the last states in the United States to get rid of slavery.
Yeah, no, it's surprising, but yet in the same time, it's not surprising. Mm-hmm. I think another thing is that you guys join the UAW 210, and UAW stands for United Auto Workers, correct?
Yes.
So that's
yes.
kind of a, okay, I already know why, but I know a lot of people are kind of like, well, you're a bike, alternative transportation, why would you join the UAW? So why did you guys choose to join that?
Well, we reached out to another organization who shall remain nameless. And
I know they are.
Yeah, they just weren't following up, and I don't know. There seemed to be some type of glitch there. So, an associate said, I know an organizer. And I said, well, where are they from? UAW 2110. And I know of UAW organizing. I'm a big fan. I love Grace Lee Boggs from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a progressive, union. As a matter of fact, right now, with a lot of these unions, they lack leadership. You know, UAW mm-hmm. now is a black man. And, it's not about the product. It's about the people,
mm-hmm.
It's not
mm-hmm.
about the bikes. It's about the people. And they're going to get us the best deal. So we want to be with them,
Well, it's just kind of like, working class solidarity. It's kind of like, we don't have this kind of like, you can't compartmentalize everything. You kind of go, okay, well, these are the people that can work the best. I mean, I know the UAW has an amazing reputation, in some cases, infamous.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, the president this one wasn't such a great guy, but we did like that the union had a democracy, that it's once they found out what was going on, they got rid of him immediately,
Exactly. And I think of that, but I mean, the thing is that, we need to fight, as we see what's going on with the election, people who are progressive, people who are for the people, we need to learn how to fight too. Maybe it's not always, that's the rules say you can't do this, but clearly the people who are at the top don't care about the rules.
They don't care. No.
Yeah. So I'm not even judging. Because I mean, I saw on social media a little bit, people are like, well, why are you part of the car thing? And I'm kind of like, why weren't you paying people in, that were working to keep your car free, a fair wage when we know people who are generally the people who ride bicycles in order to work have less money. There is a working class thing for people who have, who ride it for work. But we also know these organizations like the American Bicycle Association and things like that. These are upper middle class, sometimes wealthy people. And they had enough money and clout to actually advocate for the people who are advocating for them. So no one can say anything to me.
No.
The thing is too, a lot of black women have lost their jobs during COVID-19. We lost our jobs at a higher rate than anybody else. That's actually an actual research.
That's a
fact.
That's
not anecdotal. That's real. So were you nervous? Like, you've been an employee, at Transcrace Alternatives, but were you nervous that you might lose your job? COVID-19, and now this person's trying to like start a union. Like, this would be the perfect time to like, see ya, Dulcie.
This is advice from my wise old dad. He didn't even finish high school, but he reads, he's well read, he knows he's a black man and how we have to function in this world to survive. And it's like, I looked at it in life, it's timing. This was not something that I thought of at the start of lockdown. I thought of this 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was basically, within myself working within the organization, building different relationships with different people and just checking in and seeing how everybody was. I was afraid, but, in life, you can't let fear, control your motivations, not entirely. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. No,
you can put yourself out there,
But, you know, the other thing, too, is, like, aren't you afraid to die with no money?
Exactly.
That's a different,
exactly.
There are various kinds of fear. There's immediate fear, and there's fear, you know, in the future.
Yes.
So it's good to kind of have that, being able to think long-term, because, like I said, a lot of people have they're very kind of, I'm afraid about right now, but what about in the future? And, you know, because you didn't fight. And I don't want to blame people, because I understand with capitalism, you really do feel but you feel stuck. And that's something that you need to kind of understand. But that's why I have your story here, because I want people to go, yeah, you can start a union during COVID. I mean, I'd wish that the meat workers would do this.
Oh, yes.
I wish that the childcare workers would do this. I mean, the childcare workers
100%.
Have so much power right now, and
yes.
they're not using it. And it's heartbreaking, because they could literally, you know, we should be shut down, but they can literally shut down everything. And I don't want to go off into this whole, you know, spiel. You know my whole thing with the childcare.
No, but that's the reality of it. Just say no. You know, I was talking to one girlfriend, and she said, "This COVID, I feel so helpless." And I said, "Yeah, I understand that. At times, I feel like that, but we have the power to say no."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
No,
we do, and especially as a group.
Are you coming to the office? No, why?
No, you do. You have the power to say no, and also too as a group. If everybody decides together, we're not coming in. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You know, there's only something that can do if everybody says no.
United we stand, divided we fall. It's very that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's actually literally that. And why do you think more nonprofits are not unionized?
Well, it's definitely, you know, like I said, I had this in my mind 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a good 2.5 years to figure out how the matrix of the nonprofit works.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you have a board, you have an advisory council, you know, then you have your ED. You have to find out who's pulling what strings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to determine, as far as unionizing goes, okay, the ultimate people that can join a bargaining unit, they cannot hire or fire. So I think within a lot of white collar and nonprofits, they hand out these useless titles. Director of such and such, this and that. You know, but it ultimately comes down, can you hire or fire somebody?
Okay, so you cannot, so the thing is, if you can hire or fire someone, that means that you can be part of the union, and they can't, and you're protected.
No, if you can hire or fire, you can be in a bargaining unit. You can
unionize.
If you're management, you cannot even engage in this. You're management. But I think in these worlds, you know, a lot of nonprofits, people come in with a vision. They're very passionate about the org, and, you know, they give you a title, and you get so burnt. You know what I mean? You just don't think, oh, is this for me? And then I would have a conversation. Well, okay, what's your title? But can you hire or fire? And they're like, no. And I said, okay, you can come on in. Join up. Let's go. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the whole thing. They give you these titles.
Yes.
And they also do things like they give you titles and they give you a salaried. See, I don't know about you, but in working class Black people land, the whole idea of you get a set paycheck a month, like, oh, you're set. Like, you're not
you
hourly.
Pay dirt.
You think that's like a really good thing. So, you know, especially like in, you know, Chicano, African-American, working class, even if you went to college, it's kind of like the still like these things that we don't know just because we've been kind of, you know, we've been kind of segregated from society. So you essentially think, oh, if I get monthly, I'm not hourly. So you view that as an advantage.
That's
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you view that as a big jump, but actually it's just an easier way for them to exploit you because you're not hourly, so you can't get overtime. And they give you this fancy title, tell you that you're salaried, and they can just work you like a dog.
Yeah,
oh,
you're salaried, you know, work 40 hours. If you go over, we'll give you flex time. I don't want flex time. I want money. I want the money for my overtime or some type of extra money in my pension fund. I was in a labor union years ago, so I know how this works, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I think that for me, you know, that's what's so heartbreaking because you see this happen over and over again, and you see people get exploited over and over again, and then you see kind of like, you know, because we're not talking, and because we have this kind of this whole idea that we're all middle class, Right.
And so no one wants to have this conversation. Like, actually, we're not all middle class. I don't even think that middle class even exists within like, to me, within Black world. I don't know if middle class exists. I mean, you can have middle income, but can you be mediocre and have a house?
Never.
You have to be excellent. That's not, middle class is for the mediocre gatekeepers.
Exactly.
You're not allowed to be that way if you're Black. So I think that, you know, us talking, us, you know, kind of dismantling this idea of middle class, kind of like, I'm too good to be part of the union. I'm a salary worker with a title. We don't do that kind of thing that
that's
people who are getting grubby, you know. And I think that's, do you think that's part of why people don't unionize in, well, it's like just a combination.
Everyone wants to be rich. They want to be on top. The American exceptional idea, you know, I'm going to make it. I'm salary, middle class. No.
but also too, you have these really super wealthy people that are gassing you up and like making you either gassing you up and gaslighting you. What do you mean? Mm-hmm. You don't need. I mean, and the thing is, they'll give you a nice party. They'll have, you know, these different galas, but yet they're still paying the people on the floor nothing.
Nothing.
And they feel like you should be honorable, because the thing is that if you're wealthy and you're volunteering, it's viewed some kind of like honorable thing. But the thing is that we're not volunteering, and we're not wealthy, and we don't have a trust fund to fall back
no,
on.
Exactly. And
actually, you know, volunteering for an actual job is actually excluding people who actually need money for pay. You're like stealing in a scab in a way. But what advice would you give to wrap this up? What advice would you give to others who want to stand up, unionize during this time of COVID?
I think now is a great time, you know, for the organizationing, you know, challenges. You know, a lot of times in the workplace, if you're trying to organize, you know, you got people that can eavesdrop. It's too stressful, you know, but now we're at home. We're working from home. So you could take some time out of your day, do a Zoom call, or sometimes people only want to do Zoom. They just want to get on a regular phone. You know, just check in with your coworkers, have those talks, you know. Don't be afraid to talk about numbers. Find out, you know, how much are you guys getting paid? Who's getting what, you know? There's also a thing of our org uses a lot of part-time workers. So one concern was, okay, if we unionize full-time workers, what's to tell management, okay, let's get rid of all the full-time and just hire part-timers or consultants. So you have to get, I spoke with the organizer, said, no, if you work at an organization 4 hours a week, you're entitled to come in, you know, and be a part of the organizing unit, you know? So, you know, start asking those questions and talk with each other and just realize that, you know, this is not wrong. We are very right. I mean, you're seeing stuff, people with money, you know. One thing that really bothered me was this guy, Amazon, you know, Jeff Bezos, when the COVID went down. He told his workers at Whole Foods 365, if you're healthy, why don't you give your sick days to a sick worker who has COVID? You know, this is a guy who makes, what, $40,000+ 6 seconds, and this is what he's doing?
No, I mean, to me, it's unbelievable, like, how little they want to share, how little they want to give out to other people. But also, too, like you said, you know, don't make it so they can divide you. If somebody is a four-hour employee, they should be part of it too. If somebody is, you know, I think that, you know, I like to look at in education, I always, now I'm going to use childcare as an example, because K-12 did not, owing to, you know, really racism and classism, because K-12 did not organize with childcare workers or early ed workers, their bosses, and everyone keeps looking, well, early childhood, they're risking their life, why don't you risk yours? You know,
exactly.
every person that you don't include is a person they can use against you.
Exactly.
So
it's a
scab. Every person that's not included can be a scab. So you need to include, you know, all kinds of workers, not have this, oh, well, we have degrees. Oh, we're the organizers. Oh, that person is just a cleanup person. No,
no.
Everybody, if you're working, like you said, if you can't hire or fire, you're in. And that should be the only kind of like caveat.
That's it.
So, you know, but you know, thank you so much
Dulcie, for chatting with our first kind of like, you know, actual kind of hardcore show about, you know, our hardcore news show. And hope to speak to you again. So have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.